The Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News, a ministry dedicated to the truth revealed through Jesus Christ, encouraging listeners to stand boldly as the King's return is at hand.
This is a tough message because we've all heard so much about this topic, and it's nearly impossible to get a straight answer from government officials or internet searches. I'm talking about the devastation in Appalachia from Hurricane Helene. I followed this story from the beginning and put together a file of information that I found to be valid and confirmed. So what I'm about to share with you is what we know, and much of this comes directly from people who are or have been in the area, either residents of the area or those from other parts who have participated in rescue, cleanup, and directly helping survivors. Hurricane Helene was a huge catastrophic tropical cyclone that made landfall on September 26 in northwestern Florida. It then moved inland, causing devastation in Georgia, Tennessee, and North Carolina. 3 hours after striking central Georgia, the storm abruptly turned northwest and hit the Appalachian Mountains with 180-mile-per-hour winds. This after dumping huge amounts of rainfall on the area for approximately 3 days prior. Rainfall in eastern Tennessee and western North Carolina ranged from 1 foot to over 3 feet in 3 days, causing unprecedented flooding and landslides. At this time, I cannot get an accurate death count. It's unlikely we ever will. Government agencies are simply stating it was more than 230 people killed in total in 4 states. Locals in North Carolina, however, report the number in that state alone is in the thousands, perhaps in the tens of thousands. Many, if not most, of the bodies of those killed will never be recovered, buried under 30 feet of mud from landslides after being torn apart and washed away. Mainstream news media outlets have called this a storm of biblical proportions, and indeed it was. Far worse than the storm of July 1916 that killed 80 people there. Residents of the area were used to heavy rainfall in the past, but nothing like this, because hurricanes just don't happen there. Of course, official sources are conveniently blaming climate change for this disaster, but what's the real truth? Understand, I'm not claiming this storm was deliberately steered to intentionally destroy Appalachia. But others believe it was, and have provided dramatic and alarming evidence that this scenario is not only possible and plausible, but also probable. Let's discuss that first. Now, we know the government has been manipulating the weather for decades. Dane Wigington of geoengineeringwatch.org has compiled extensive evidence and proof on his website, though he's still considered a conspiracy theorist. He even lists hundreds of patents related to weather modification going back to the year 1891 and multiplying exponentially through last year. But here's what's not a conspiracy theory. Project Cirrus was the first official attempt to modify a hurricane. It was a project run by General Electric in 1947 with the support of the U.S. military. They seeded clouds with various compounds such as silver iodide, along with about 200 pounds of dry ice dropped into the clouds as a hurricane headed out to sea in the Caribbean. The hurricane then abruptly changed direction and made landfall near Savannah, Georgia. It was a man named Irving Langmuir who pioneered General Electric's Atmospheric Research Department at that time, and he admitted the project was about learning how to weaponize the weather, although the U.S. government denied that for 12 years. Then in 1965, Project Storm Fury targeted Hurricane Betsy for cloud seeding. On that day, the storm immediately changed course and made landfall in South Florida. Congress blamed Project Storm Fury for that devastation, but after 2 months of congressional hearings, the project was allowed to continue. Fast forward to 1997, when U.S. Defense Secretary William Cohen admitted, "We do have the technology to control the weather, including earthquakes and volcanoes." It should be noted that the U.S. government has placed gag orders on employees of the National Weather Service. In October of 2012, after Hurricane Sandy weakened to a tropical storm, microwave imagery show a thick red beam immediately followed by Sandy growing into a Category 1 hurricane and taking an unexplained sharp left turn into New Jersey. I have also followed the phenomenon known as chemtrails for years. I have a friend in northern Wisconsin who's a scientist. This person lives in a remote area where commercial airlines rarely travel. Yet after years of seeing jets crisscrossing the skies in that area, my friend began to investigate. Using high-powered photographic equipment, images were captured of those jets spewing trails of chemicals overhead. The aircraft would continue for hours, crisscrossing the skies until a checkerboard pattern was formed. The compounds spewed from these planes dispersed very slowly until the sky was completely overcast. My scientist friend continued the investigation, taking water samples from creeks, rivers, and ponds before and after each of these occurrences. The samples were then analyzed by independent labs. What was found was shocking: deadly amounts of poisonous chemicals after each incidence of the area being covered in chemtrails. And just this past fall, my wife and I were relaxing quietly in a small boat on a lake in northern Wisconsin. This was also not in an area that gets much, if any, commercial airline traffic. We don't fish. We were simply out on the lake floating and watching the wildlife: eagles, loons, ducks, and deer. My wife noticed a strange cloud in the sky. I informed her that it was a chemtrail, something we had talked about before. But on this day, we had an opportunity to just float in our little boat and watch what happened. We had binoculars with us to watch the wildlife, and we turned them to the source of the weird clouds we were watching. Each one was being produced by an aircraft. We could clearly see the jet exhaust exit and quickly disappear, but the trails the planes were spraying never disappeared. They just expanded. First there was one plane, then another, and another, and one more. I'd estimate we witnessed at least 25 planes over the course of about 2 hours of observation. They'd fly over the entire area, some of them side by side, producing 4 to 6 trails from one end of the horizon to the other. Then another group of planes came from the opposite direction, and in no time at all, there was that familiar checkerboard pattern, and the trails expanded, filling the sky until we went from clear blue skies to completely overcast. That night, although there was 0% chance of rain in the forecast, we had a tremendous thunderstorm. I've seen this with my own eyes more times than I can count, and odds are you have too. You should be aware of this. But why would our government want to devastate the Appalachian region of the country? Well, under the current regime's Green New Deal, there's been a tremendous push toward alternative energy, which demands enormous amounts of lithium to operate. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, the U.S. has more than 7 million tons of lithium deposits, one of the richest deposits in the world, and the majority is centered in Kings Mountain, North Carolina. But local residents didn't want their communities turned into a lithium strip mine, and companies like Piedmont Lithium were struggling to push their plans forward due to heavy opposition from the locals. You should also know that last year, the U.S. Department of Defense entered into a $90 million agreement with Albemarle Corporation to increase domestic production of lithium for the nation's battery supply chain. According to the agreement, it's to go into effect in 2025, and it specifically names Kings Mountain, North Carolina, as the source from where the lithium will be extracted. Incidentally, BlackRock, the largest investment firm in the world, which owns nearly everything, increased its ownership in Albemarle Corporation by buying over 2 million shares of the company on August 31st, less than a month before Hurricane Helene hit the mountains. Coincidence? The storm devastated small rural communities in the Tennessee and North Carolina mountains. So those towns that objected to lithium mining now, conveniently, no longer exist. They're gone. Homes and entire towns were flattened, slammed by mudslides, and simply washed away, leaving absolute and total destruction behind. Almost immediately, volunteers from other areas were on the scene, doing search and rescue, bringing in food, supplies, clothing, medicine, and shelter for survivors. But it was 10 days before FEMA had any presence in the area. And then the absolute ineptness of our federal government was on full display. One video taken by a resident in Asheville, North Carolina, showed a single FEMA truck in the rear of a parking lot, and this person interviewed the FEMA employees there. One man had a single sheet of paper with instructions for people as to how to obtain aid. Not copies to hand out, just one piece of paper that people were supposed to take photos of with their cell phones and then apply for aid from FEMA via the internet. First of all, those survivors, if they could even find FEMA in the back of this parking lot, were left with nothing but the clothes they were wearing. They had no cell phones, not even a pen or a piece of paper. And then, with no electricity, cell phone, or internet service, how did FEMA expect people to apply for their aid? And of course, the aid was supposed to be $750 per person. I guess, perhaps due to inflation, they increased that from the $700 the victims of the fires in Lahaina were to receive last year. However, as happened in Lahaina, very few received even that amount of money. There was always a reason why they didn't qualify. One person who had lost her home and her family was told she was only eligible for a one-time $300 payment to help with immediate needs. And early on in this debacle, FEMA announced it was broke. No more money left in the Hurricane Relief Fund because the money had been spent helping illegal immigrants. Incidentally, that same week, our government sent another enormous check to Ukraine. They'd like us to forget any of that happened, but they absolutely did make that announcement. Congress quickly allocated more funds for disaster relief. So here are the latest numbers from the FEMA website. As of October 16, FEMA has spent $102 million in North Carolina. They've registered more than 5,000 survivors, and six disaster recovery centers have served more than 2,500 people. They also claim over 14,000 home inspections. These numbers may sound large, but it's a mere drop of the bucket compared to the overwhelming need. I understand logistics in trying to reach people where there are no longer any roadways, bridges, or other infrastructure. But the big question on the ground from everyone I've spoken with there is, where is FEMA? They appear to be very hard to find. Meanwhile, Christian ministries, other organizations, and individuals have stepped up to help. People helping people directly without government involvement seems to be much more effective than the federal or state government. The current need now is for shelter, as thousands continue to live in tents, and winter is here. Once again, individuals are coming forward to build temporary shelters with heat and electricity for families who have nothing. But the need is enormous, and it appears FEMA is just endless red tape. Countless thousands have lost everything, including their loved ones, who will never be found. One cannot comprehend the sheer devastation of this disaster unless you see it with your own eyes. Meanwhile, the mud that now covers everything is highly toxic, contaminated with forever chemicals that have been stirred into the mix from chemical plants and factories that were destroyed. Some have called it East Palestine, Ohio, times 1,000. Cadaver dogs and horses used to reach those trapped in the mountains are dying from the poisonous mud. One person described how her rubber boots were dissolving in the mud because of the toxic sludge. The water is unsafe, to say the least. People are suffering beyond belief and will soon be freezing to death. This is in the United States of America. Appalachia needs help. This is real. Audio CDs and transcripts of this message are available when you call me at Wisconsin Christian News, 715-486-8066, or email Rob, R-O-B, at wisconsinchristiannews.com and ask for message number 449.
This has been the Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News. Find us on the internet at wisconsinchristiannews.com. Questions and comments? Email Rob, R-O-B, at wisconsinchristiannews.com.
The views expressed are those of the speaker.